At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
There's been an unbelievable buzz. It's actually ridiculous. Like, we're a GAA mad county at the best of times, but now it's through the roof now. It's through the roof.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second half is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to focus on Saturday's action at Killarney and Goodwood. So subscribe now, you know what to do. Johnny, how is the form?
Good, JD. Just fresh from a trip to Killarney, the start of their August meeting, 3-day meeting, and it was just a shame. The weather was really, really off-putting for racegoers. Killarney's a funny track because I actually feel it doesn't get the crowds it should get because it's so scenic and it's such a tourist town. And it's actually a very well located race course as well. Like, it's not one of these like race courses that's miles away. You can walk easily to it from the town. And the weather was just like, I mean, you just wouldn't have, if you were floating at all, there's no way you would have gone.
Long day though from Dublin, is it?
It's a long day.
3 hours, is it, each way?
Yeah, 3 hours and change on the train. And yeah, like I've worked 3 times at Killarney now, and every time it's been for one meeting, and it's actually kind of, it's not ideal because like by the time the race was finished last night, I'd no way back to Dublin, so I had to stay down and get a 7:45 train back this morning.
You're fresh as a daisy now, Johnny.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but hotels are expensive, and you know,
well, it's tourist season, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're in Killarney as well, you're not apt to kind of just go home and go to bed. Dan McDonald and I 9 years ago had a winner there, steak night and all that, and it's a great town. But yeah, like to go for one meeting isn't ideal.
Any
but,
racing story out of the night? Anything unusual? Anything interesting?
There was one winner actually that I just thought it kind of summed up like why syndicates are so good for racing. And like, being honest, JD, the racing wasn't great. Like there was a good hurdle race where a lot of the kind of Galway hurdle also ran in it, and Miss Faree beat Mighty Tom and Kings Hill. Both were both ran in the Galway hurdle. Interestingly, before Kings Hill ran, there was a band, like a kind of a 2-piece band playing, and the trainer of Kings Hill, who's Paul Gilligan, based in South Galway, he was very unhappy with the horse's performance in the Galway Hurdle. He said he got totally worked up before the race. He said his race was lost before he started. And he said, like, I'm after driving down here from, like, a long drive from Galway, which it would be. And he's like, this horse isn't going to lose his race because of the loud music. So he basically made, you know, representations to the clerk of the course, and the music stopped. The music actually stopped. And himself and Natalie, his wife, were saying to me afterwards, geez, I was nearly afraid to go up afterwards and say, like, you can start up the music again, you know? And the horse actually ran well. He finished third. But it was funny. I hadn't seen that before. And I do remember, like, Aidan O'Brien talking to him one day when a student day was on in Limerick. I don't know if you've been to a student day in Limerick. It's kind of like
any student day. Since I was a student.
Yeah, like in those days, in our days of going to student days, there were, you know, there were different events. Now they're slightly more nuanced, shall we say, and they're very loud. And like, it's some horses just, they don't know what to do with it. Like if you go to Ballydoyle, they're listening to like Stravinsky and Brahms and Mozart or whatever. Here they'd be listening to like techno. And, you know, they're not really bred for that. But Paul Gilligan was like, yeah, turn off the music, lads. And the band never seemed to really recover from that. It was kind of fits and starts for the rest of the night. I think they were afraid to upset the horses. And in the end, nobody was really looking at them because the weather was so bad. But yeah, the horse finished third. But the other horse I want to mention was the second last race, King Ferdinand. It was a very ordinary race. But like, basically, the horse is owned by the Gertro, is it? The Gertro Racing Club. And Gertro, I think, is somewhere vaguely around where Eugene O'Sullivan trains, which is in Cork, so Lombardstown, so kind of good National Hunt territory in Cork. But they're basically all kind of they all go to the local bar, and it's, I'd say Gartreau is tiny, but like, I was talking to the rider, Alan O'Sullivan, afterwards, and he said, I'm not exaggerating to say this horse has actually brought a community together. And I'd say there were conservatively about 30 people in the parade ring. The syndicate has like 25, 30 members, young and old, in the parade ring, and it was bucketing rain, and they all came in roaring the horse home. And I was like, this is exactly what National Racing needs. I mean, I don't know if we've talked much about it, JD, the plan to restrict kind of 60
yes,
races.
Yes, we have, yes.
We talked a bit about last week, but like this is what racing has kind of lost a bit in the National Hunt game, where like it's at the top level, it's you know, the Brave Inca stories now are virtually unheard of, where all the good talent is snapped up. But this was like it was a run-of-the-mill race for $6,500. But there was a brilliant vibrancy to it, and like, we need syndicates like that.
Is that phrase in Trading Places, the movie, turn those machines back on.
Yeah.
So that was about the music, yeah.
Yeah.
So
they eventually did, but I do think the life was kind of knocked out and the way.
You can understand if you feel in any way that something is going to affect the runner that you're bringing down to a course that's miles away, then you can understand that. So
the band is quite near the parade ring as well. Like, so I absolutely could see where he was coming from, and it was like I mean it was a good pot as well. It was like what, maybe 26,500 to the winner. Like, it's good money, and for an operation like that, these are big races.
City of Troy then was the star of the week on the course in York, and he won the Judman International. That's a Group 1. Probably the last race he's going to have now in Europe this year for this Epsom Derby winner that Aidan O'Brien says is the best horse he's ever trained. Aidan O'Brien will know more than anybody else about the subject. I find that Galileo has to be up there, given that what he did at Stud. But there was analysis in the Racing Post, Johnny, that suggested that he got the run of the race. But I didn't think it was an easy race for him to win, and to be leading from start to finish. You're a sitting duck. Ryan Moore has to judge the fractions, maybe because he's so amazing that he was able to do that. But I felt it was a very, very impressive win. They broke the track record. I know it's a little bit different from when See the Stars won it, but even the way Ruby Walsh spoke about the horse in the post-race analysis, that he was a believer in the horse and believing that he is the real deal. It's funny because in the Derby, they didn't go that pace, and then he picked up. But in the Guineas, he did come out from the front and then just blew up. But in this race, he went out from the front and just kept going. I was really impressed by the way he went through the line.
It's hard to think he'll get such a favourable setup again, is the line from the analysis. And even the comments in running say that he was keen, which, I don't know, was he overly keen, to be honest? Like, it was really, like, sums up why I love horse racing and flat racing in particular. And the more I follow it, the more I'm into the flat over National Hunt, particularly because of the sort of, I don't know, even though it's like still Arab dominated and Coolmore dominated, there's still like a lot of compelling stories on the flat. And City of Troy is just like, I was very lucky to go down to the yard. Unfortunately, I actually saw him after the Guineas, and I see some brave soul on Twitter brought up the fact that I suggested he hadn't trained on after Guineas three races later. He didn't bring it up to me at the time, but anyway, fair play to him. And I just thought the run of the Guineas was so bad. It was like, this is shades of like these Warfront horses that didn't train on, and he was by Justify. We don't really have that much evidence of Justify horse over here. And Aidan O'Brien came up with excuses that were, you know, quite unique excuses, but in the same time, when I was talking to him, it was very hard not to be sort of taken by what he said about the horse. But then he ran in the Derby, and like, the Derby was completely different to this. He had to go through the whole field. It was a messy race at a very unique track. This race did work out pretty well for him, it has to be said. Like, I felt tactically, like Hans Andersen going up, like, he basically kind of took a pull on him. So then he was sort of blocking the inner route to other horses. And I was thinking, like, I was humming and hawing, would I back him or not? And didn't back him. And after a furlong, I was gutted I hadn't backed him, because it was like, this horse cannot be beaten in this situation, in the sense that he'll be able to stack up in front. He's well able to relax. He obviously stays well. But at the same time, JD, it's a long, long straight in York. It's a long straight in York. There were some traffic problems in behind. Calandigan came, and like, at no time did you think he was going to pick him up. And it was like, between City of Troy and everything else, it was four and a half lengths. So if you take out Calandigan, and like, City of Troy is a strange horse in the sense that I'm not sure how much he actually does when he's in front. Like, I felt there was more there than he showed. And Ruby Walsh's analysis about the way he was kind of hanging,
yes,
it's just like fascinating stuff. Like, in racing, like, we're down on ourselves at times, but it's such great sport. I love this performance.
Well, Ruby will give an insight that, you know, only a jockey can give.
100%. Like, I said this at our what was it, the night we had in Dublin a few months ago, I was like, I don't really feel compelled to talk about jockeys. Like, I think I can tell a good jockey, but like, I wouldn't be able to offer that sort of analysis. And Ruby offering that analysis was fascinating. But I just felt it was a brilliant race to watch. And he's probably going to be better over a mile and a half. But
will he go on dirt in the Breeders' Cup Classic? That is the dream now. That's the plan. 1 mile, two, that we know the distance will be fine, but going in the Breeders' Cup on dirt on different surface.
I personally think it's well worth a try, and his action is very encouraging in the sense of that. And mainly, he's buying American sire, and like, that's basically, if you're not American bred, you don't handle dirt by and large. And they've tried it before; it hasn't worked. They would open up a new layer to him. I mean, I'd love to see him in the Champion Stakes. Obviously, that doesn't sound like it's going to happen now, and that race mightn't be the race that it could have been. I would love to see him at Leopardstown. I think there would be genuine hype around him, and it's the name as well, JD, City of Troy. What it evokes, that the fact that he runs in them colours, trained by Aidan O'Brien, who, like, you know, really put his neck on the line about this horse. He really did. And to say that he's the best horse he's trained, in fairness, as a 2-year-old, the ratings, what he was running to as a 2-year-old, and to back that up then and to beat the older horses, I felt this was his proper ability on good firm ground. He's definitely better on the way his action is. He's definitely better on this ground. But he beat like a proper field. You know, I suppose there wasn't a superstar in the race apart from him, but like, he destroyed everything. He was so much better than them. Ultimately, okay, he had a nice setup, but like, I'd have no issue with him running and being settled in mid-division the next day, wherever he goes.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
2nd of November is when the Breeders' Cup Classic will take place at Del Mar in California, folks. If you've ever have a few quid spare, go to the Breeders' Cup. It's one of the best things I have ever experienced. It was amazing. It was in Keeneland a couple of years ago in Kentucky. One of my most favourite life memories being there at the Breeders' Cup and seeing all the quality of the races and the stars and stripes and the bell going and seeing Irish success over there. It's just absolutely fantastic to be the World Championships of flat racing.
And you've a lot of contrived stuff in flat racing now, in terms of like these sort of countries versus countries and all this stuff. In the Breeders' Cup, it really does feel like, you know, you're very proud when you have an Irish winner, because it's not easy over there.
I shook Gaten's hand.
Yeah. And but like, to shake his hand at the Breeders' Cup is completely different to shaking at Leopardstown. it just feels like you're lucky to be there. You do feel privileged.
Have you been?
No, it's on Johnny, the. I've been to racing in the States, but never a proper meet.
This is quality. Yeah.
And it's also like, I give out about the fact that they're all left-handed ovals over there, but like, it's proper racing. Like, and you go over, you're taking on jockeys who have like a lot of local knowledge, ride completely differently to the Europeans, and then you have to slot in to a nice position. If you break slowly in that race, you're in trouble, and you have to handle the surface.
Look, De Vega is the anti-post favourite at the moment for the Arc. This is the horse that won the French Derby. So that's one to keep an eye on as well. I don't know who the Arc horse will be at a Ballydoyle. I mean, a Content won the Yorkshire Oaks. Los Angeles has been winning races.
I'd say Los Angeles. Again, he was kind of one of those horses you could have backed in hindsight. He won by two necks, but like, when you run a race over a mile and a half, like, a neck is something like that. Like, it's very, very little, but it's massive as well, in the sense that he was always holding the two horses that were set. Like, the Ballydoyle 1-2 in the race was maybe suggested there's not a lot between them, but I feel he probably will run the race, and he wouldn't mind a bit of ease in the ground. I'd like to see White Birch run, but there's maybe a little bit of question mark over him at the moment. Can't see City of Troy going there.
You talk about the story of King Ferdinand and the syndicate there at Killarney last night, Johnny. Another lovely story at York. Extensio, $100,000 handicap win for Pat O'Donnell, Limerick trainer, and Joey Sheridan, Tipperary jockey. Pat O'Donnell has got six horses. He trained Chance Coffee to win the 1995 Carroll Cup at Cheltenham, at the Cheltenham Festival, and winning a big race in the flat the other day. And a great interview with Racing TV afterwards. Pat O'Donnell, not the Clare sponsor, but the Limerick man who trains horses.
Yeah, I came across Pat one day, I think, in Clonmel. He'd a winner, and I was like, this fella's fairly unique. But like, his daughter Sylvia leading the horse in. Joey Sheridan is one of the jockeys I'd be fairly friendly with. He's a great lad. I interviewed him recently at Sligo, and he had a double on the night, as it turned out, from three rides. One of them was a big price, and he was kind of saying afterwards, like, these interviews actually do help kind of to get your profile out there, because he's a young jockey in a ridiculously competitive environment. Like, it's so tough. Irish jockeys are at the top of the tree, and for him to have a success like that, again, it was a fascinating race to watch, because Samui, who, I mean, he was okay over hurdles, but he's really taken to the flat. He was prominent throughout. And as about two furlongs down, I was looking at, there were a wall of horse in behind, seemingly travelling better. But when Extensio was pulled out, like, his turn of foot was quite something. By a sire, I had to look him up again. I've never heard of the sire. Like, he's not flashy. And, like, it almost felt like, I was just saying to people, like, Pat O'Donnell having a winner at York, it just felt like, this doesn't happen over jumps anymore. Like, that Pat O'Donnell, this small trainer, like, but a real
even
character.
Even the type of horsey to win at Cheltenham in 1995, Chance Coffey, you don't really get those types of winners anymore.
No.
From small Irish yards.
Because the good horses are just snapped up before they can even be snaffled. And they're paid for by the big owners, be it from France or the point-to-point sphere. And it just doesn't happen. And, like, oh, that was magic. I mean, he's just such a larger-than-life character, for all that he's not very big, Pat. And I mean, It was perfect, because it followed City of Troy, totally different stories, but both trained in Tipperary. And both, like York said, I've been to York once, brilliant race meeting to go to. Like, and I mean that, it's like York, the town has so much history. Really, you feel like you're going back to, like, Braveheart nearly.
Any,
you know,
real ale, Johnny?
Probably, yeah. I was probably, in fairness, I don't remember much about the night afterwards, but it was Frank. That was Frankel, like, so I'd seen Frankel. I was like, Jesus, okay, that's extraordinary. Like, St. Nicholas Abbey
was that in the Judmont?
That was in the Judmont, yes. It was the only time only time I saw him. Like, see, like, St. Nicholas Abbey ran that day, and Frankel beat him by about 10 lengths. Like, it was ridiculous performance. He was quite keen. I think it was the first time he ran over a mile and two, actually. So yeah, but again, York, I mean, it's no Breeders' Cup, but it's a great place to go.
How much better, in terms of pounds or lengths, is Brian Moore than everybody else at the moment? Because it's pretty clear, the sport at the moment, that he is miles above everybody else.
Yeah,
or would you agree or not agree?
He is the best. Like, I suppose, I don't know if I want to say he's miles above everyone else. Like, I feel if Colin Keane had the opportunities, like, he'd be.
Yes.
I mean, Colin just doesn't get it wrong, and his fractions are brilliant.
Oisin Murphy's very good.
Oisin Murphy as well. Like, Oisin Murphy's is ridiculously talented, but Ryan is just, I don't know, I think he's just in a happy place in life. You know, he's probably appreciating it more, particularly with the near death experience of his brother, and how that would have, like, brought his, like, I'd say every day is a blessing when you come through something like that as a family. He's young kids, he's riding for an operation that's, I would have had kind of misgivings about it, you know, Ballydoyle in a post Galileo age, but, like, they're getting by okay. He's riding very good horses. He seems to come over to Ireland very willingly for nearly every meet going, and I just think he's in a happy place. And even you see his interview after after the Eclipse, he said, I thought he'd win 10 lengths. And I thought, like, that was an extraordinary thing to say, like, about a horse that scrambled in at whatever, 1-4. But he's brilliant to, like, people who say a few, who utter a few words are often worth listening to more so. And he's brilliant to listen to, I think.
We're going to look ahead to the races of the Curra and also Killarney and also Goodwood in the member section of the Racing Pod this week. But we're going to profile the Ebor for the free to air section. This is Saturday, 3:35 at York. Good to firm. 20 runners, 1 mile, 6 furlongs. Need to get a good position for the Ebor. Willie Mullins has got a really good record in the race. He'd observed win this last year. He has High Pop de Loire. But you also have Queenstown for Aidan O'Brien. A lot of local runners in the UK as well. It's a difficult one to work out, but it's that I suppose is part of the attraction of it, is the puzzle.
That's a brilliant race, like, and for all that it's run over this trip, the draw is important. It doesn't seem that long ago.
Now, tell me, is it low or high works here?
You want to be low, like, or at least low to mid. Like, if you're drawing high, obviously, it just makes it a lot more complex, because York's a pretty fair track, but, like, if you're, this could be quite a tactical race. You know, this is the thing about racing for me, is that if every race has an element of unpredictability to it in terms of what happens and the pace up front, it makes it a lot more compelling. And this race, for all that, like, there's obvious pace in it, you know, you've very good riders here riding in a race. If they can get soft leads, they will. It doesn't seem that long ago I was talking about Burdett Road tipping him for the
will he stay in this?
It'd be a question mark for me. You know, he's a very pacey sort of hurdler. It is a question mark. Sylvester D'Souza, what a ride to pick up. Ran well at Ascot. And sort of did stay on, but this is more difficult. But you look at the field, JD. Magical Zoe, you know, I wasn't, she's by Shan too, like, would have, I mean, had very, very few good National Hunt horses. I think he had toe the line for John Kiley. I actually talked to John about him lately, but like she ran really well behind Grateful at Fairy House for a mare, a 6 year old mare hitting the flat. She's developed into a very good performer. Billy Lee for Henry de Bromhead, Colin Keane for Willie Mullins on that horse, who's only having his second start, was second to Jack Finbar at Galway. That was a very good effort. He, albeit he's rated 103. And then the real dark one of the race, Queenstown, which was the old name for Cove, probably named after that.
But it is joint favourite, Johnny, your favourite.
It's been well back though. So it's been like it was probably about 16, 20 to 1 a week ago. But okay, like it's the Kyprios form. So it's like second to Kyprios at Navan and then second to Kyprios at Leopardstown. Now, I'd be wary of reading too much into Kyprios beating Yelling because I think that's kind of what he does. But if you look at the Aidan O'Brien trained horse this week, you know, content, they're improving, they're in really good nick at the moment. This horse is a bit of a blank canvas, has only had like two starts over a mile and six, and he's James Doyle rides him. It's going to be really, really fascinating, and he's a cracking pedigree, that horse. I'm really looking forward to it.
Key have there's money for that horse as we record this on Friday. Snippets of form from York for this one. So a bit of money for that in terms of the market move. You can get 22 to 1 on that. What else am I looking at market move wise? I saw a lot of money on Thursday for Relentless Voyager. Oisin Murphy will ride that one top weight. And High Pop de Loire, Willie Mullins' horse with Colin Keane in the saddle, has also been backed into about 7 to 1. Do you have a fancy?
I'm going to go with Queenstown. I should just mention
yes!
There we go. It's probably not the most original selection, but just like his profile is perfect for the race. Should mention my mate Mozzie as well, running for Connections, we know very well. And it's just going to be a cracking race. This the Irish interest in it is really, really adding to my allure anyway. And 22 could be a problem, JD, the draw. It's not ideal. But if James Doyle can get away with it, you know, he's a horse that can miss the break. So it's going to be fun to watch. He could trade double his price and run in early, but he's going to finish with a rattle, I feel.
McMahon and Double J is our tip every week for the free tire section. And when I went through this, there's a blue font for all of them, apart from the red font, which is for Queenstown. That's why I did the yay. Aidan O'Brien training, only 4, second behind Kyprios, as you say, Johnny, in 2 races over the distance, has claims, could be a bit unexposed. This one, Queenstown. We both agree in the big one in the Ebor. So each way, you can get 13 to 2 with William Hill for the Ebor at 3:35 on Saturday. Good to firm ground at York. This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look ahead to Saturday's action at the Curra, at Killarney and at Goodwood, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.